The Mormon community is grappling right now with a leaked conversation that's come to light in which a church leader admits to sexual misconduct.
Earlier this week, a recording was posted on the website Mormon Leaks in which an unidentified woman church member accuses a former missionary training center president, Joseph L. Bishop, of attempting to rape her. The show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. And Lauren, what has the church's reaction to this been?
So the church issued an official statement in response to this in which it calls the allegation serious and deeply disturbing. And it says it has cooperated with law enforcement and is continuing its own investigations to hold its members accountable for their conduct. Now, earlier today, it was reported that Bishop admitted to BYU police that he asked the woman, who was a young missionary at the time, to expose her breasts to him. That's according to the Salt Lake Tribune. But the case raises bigger questions for the Mormon Church about its response to these allegations and where the community can go from here. For more on this, I spoke with Patrick Mason, dean in the School of Arts and Humanities and chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate Universities. I asked him more about the Mormon community's response to these revelations first.
Well, I think there's been a lot of shock and surprise on one level, but overall, the response is one of really disgust at the actions of this priesthood leader with a woman or multiple women who were under his leadership. I mean, I think this really shocks the sensibilities of the Mormon community.
Yeah, yeah. How does the culture of Mormonism play into this? This idea that, you know, private things are kept private.
Right. Well, I think this really is at the intersection of a lot of different parts of Mormon culture. So on the one hand, there's this deep respect for priesthood leaders. For many of these men who are in more senior positions, they are really looked up to and seen as kind of paragons of the community. But then there's also this part of this culture that takes sexual propriety very seriously. I mean, the church has very serious laws and teachings about what it calls the law of chastity, which is that you shouldn't have any sexual relationships with anybody outside of your marriage. And the church talks about this a lot, but it often does it with what other people would see as euphemisms, talking about chastity or moral cleanliness and so forth. There's not a lot of direct talk about sex itself. Within the culture, and there's a bit of discomfort of talking overtly about sexual matters.
Yeah. Is there any sense that this sort of thing happens more often than this, but just isn't made public?
I think most people would recognize that everybody is human, and the church is full of humans, and so that means you're going to have some deeply flawed characters as well. Most Mormons, I think, have taken it as something of a point of pride that there hasn't been any major Mormon leader who's been exposed with some kind of sexual scandal along the lines of what we've seen in some other churches in the past couple of decades.
So I
do think this raises the question of, is there more going on kind of beneath the surface that hasn't been talked about and that hasn't been revealed publicly?
Yeah, yeah. So do you think people will liken it to sex abuse cover-ups that the Catholic Church, you know, has gone through in recent decades? And does that compound the fact that Mormons are a minority group?
Well, I think that's the immediate comparison that people will draw, both to that and also some scandals we've seen among evangelical Protestant and Pentecostal communities and leaders as well. But I do think people are going to be raising the questions about how deep and how far this goes. Is this more systemic than this one case, or was it just isolated? And for Mormons, like lots of other minority communities, they're always very self-aware of their place in society. Mm-hmm. They feel vulnerable. They oftentimes feel marginalized. They work very hard to be respected, and they don't like any sort of dirty laundry to be aired, because they oftentimes feel that the misdeeds of one person reflects poorly on the entire community in the way that doesn't happen for majority communities.
Right, right. There's been some conversation online about this idea that this woman's claims are not being taken seriously because of the hierarchy, the structure of the church that could make it difficult for women to come forward since they are not the ones in positions of power in the church. Is there any kind of response or is the church addressing those issues in any way?
I think it's fair to say that it's probably mixed on that front. On the one hand, that, you know, again, the church's official statement expressed clear solidarity for victims and said that the church goes to great lengths in order to protect victims. On the other hand, it is true that within the church's hierarchical structure, which is led by an all-male priesthood, you never have the situation where women are in authority over men.
Mm-hmm.
It's always vice versa. And so it does create a kind of culture in which especially senior, respected male priesthood leaders are oftentimes given the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that necessarily means that women aren't believed or listened to as a matter of course, but there is, I think, a kind of benefit of the doubt or a privileging given to senior male leaders.
And I'm sure now moving forward, a lot of the conversation will be about the church's response to this. So what is the procedure in the church to deal with something like sexual abuse, and what should come next?
Yeah, if a perpetrator is in fact found guilty of these things, they would be subject to excommunication, which is the severest form of church discipline that the priesthood leaders can impose. And the church's official statement that came out specifically said, you know, these acts, if true, would in fact merit excommunication. And so there is a process, a set of church courts, a church disciplinary procedure that a perpetrator would go through. I think a lot of people ask questions about why a church court wouldn't have been convened earlier if, as the transcript, you know, suggests that he came forward with some of these things to one or more priesthood leaders who apparently did not initiate church disciplinary procedures
right.
against him. So I think there will be some questions about that.
All right. Patrick Mason is Dean of the School of Arts and Humanities and the Howard W. Hunter Chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate University. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thank you.